Okay. Next is Kathy, then Afia with a question, then Wendy.
And Carolyn on the stack, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then I think everybody has spoken, so I want Nicole to speak after. Carolyn's going to be the last delegate for a while. Kathy?
I have the same question that Jamie had, and I feel it's very important to answer this question in the sense that this entire argument has been dominated by not having a meeting in September, in July, having September. So I would like to have an answer, if possible, from Lonnie on how this September meeting is going to be possible. Where are the finances going to come from for that?
Okay. Kathy, do you have anything else? Otherwise, I'll have Lonnie answer before Nicole. Do you have any other comments?
That's critically important to me. That's what I want to hear.
Okay, thanks. Afia, and then Wendy, Carolyn, and then I'm going to ask Lonnie, and then Nicole.
My question was, once Lonnie and Nicole speak, will we have an opportunity to speak again?
Yes.
Okay, then that's my question. Thank you.
Okay, Wendy.
But didn't you just say there's someone ahead? Oh, Afia. Okay. I'm kind of getting the opinion, just from reading stuff and everything, that people think that it's like a vacation for the PNB to go to these places, and you know they get to go to like the top cities in the country and just like have a great time. I just think it's important to talk about how grueling these meetings are and how, you know, people are like arguing to have, you know, 14-hour meetings in a day and three of them in a row. Maybe that's a little exaggeration. One of them's only maybe eight, but it's not a vacation of any kind, and I just want to make sure that people that aren't on the board that are weighing in on this understand that it's a ton of work. And then I just wanted to say about the KPFT motion, you know, I didn't see it on the PNB list, so I'm happy to hear that some members of this board have heard about it, but what KPFT LSB voted on was to say that the PNB shouldn't have any more in-person PNB meetings ever until the organization is solvent. And I was the one vote against it because I didn't find that to be realistic. I know Afia had written something earlier saying, you know, well, if we don't have any money, why don't we just abolish the PNB altogether? You know, that...
I
think what she said was, you know, well, you know, that's kind of the argument that we're being given is... maybe we can't afford a board at all, you know, but that's unrealistic too. So that's all. I just wanted to explain. Well, you heard me.
Thanks, Carolyn. And then I'm going to go to Lonnie and then Nicole. Carolyn?
Yes, thank you. I do question the question of where the money is going to come from. We did have a proposal from Lonnie that we really haven't addressed yet, and I think that
next on the stack.
No, I'm talking about the proposal that he submitted that we were supposed to respond to within 10 days, and I'm assuming that Friday the 27th at our meeting, even though it's not 10 days, we will address those proposals for reductions. Also, I'm going to make a proposal now, and this is a motion, and that is that the PNB recommends... or directs, I'm not sure exactly where we are on that management across the board at all the units take a, for 6 months, voluntarily or otherwise, take a cut of...
Point of order, Madam Chair.
...of 5, 10, or 15% in their salaries for...
Point of order, Margaret.
I have not... as soon as I finish, that's fine. Thank you. That we in fact ask that management do this. The manager of WBI has already volunteered to take a cut, described as a furlough. But I think if all management followed suit, we could recover more than enough money to do this. And I think that it's not fair.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
It's not fair to ask the staff to do that. So that is my motion.
This motion is out of order, Madam Chair.
I'll second it.
Yeah. point of order for Martha.
It's not germane.
This motion is out of order. It's not germane to this meeting.
Madam Chair?
Did we lose our chair?
Madam Chair?
She may have fallen off the chair.
The footstool.
She's probably trying to get back.
Well, yeah, if I could just say, I think that
Madam
everybody
Chair,
that gave the point of orders was
Madam
having
Chair.
Different reasons for saying that it was out
Madam
of order.
Chair.
Well, we need a ruling by the chair before we proceed. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Jerry?
Sophia, could you go ahead? Well, Sherry is not here.
It was an interesting observation, though.
Sophia,
it was an observation. It was a motion.
Who was the next person on the list?
There was a motion on the floor, and it was seconded.
Now,
we need a ruling by the chair if it's being called out of order.
Am I being heard?
Yay!
Oh, thank you.
I'm yelling into the phone. Carolyn, that was completely out of order. No one on the public line is going to discuss cuts of employees. It is inappropriate. It is something that can be discussed in executive session, and it is cruel. And I tried to call you out of order, and clearly you didn't hear me. That is completely inappropriate. And this meeting that we are having tonight is whether or not we're going to have rescind the motion that was passed at the last meeting. I urge all of you, this is being streamed. There may be employees listening. You, by making comments like that and motions like that, hold this foundation vulnerable to actions by people who work for Pacifica and any of its five signal areas. And I ask you to consider that we are on an open line and that we are streaming.
Madam Chair, respectfully, that was about management,
excuse
not
me.
Employees.
Management are employees, and they happen to be human beings. And any cuts to this station will be discussed in executive session based on the recommendations not to be discussed on an open line. Did management lose its humanity? The next person I'm going to ask to respond is Lonnie. There were several questions posed to you, Lonnie, by Jamie, by Kathy, and I think reiterated by Carolyn.
Well, the one I remember basically was where would money come from in September?
Hard to hear, Lonnie.
Lonnie, you're breaking up, and the question was if the meeting, if you're saying that there are no funds for this summer meeting, how do you respond to those delegates that say, how will there be money available, or will there be money available for a September meeting then?
Well, it's partly hope, but the reasons are that you have several stations going into drive in August, doing their summer drives. You have KPFA doing the drive in September. So on that those grounds, some small amount of money would be available by late September. So that's the only reason that I think that there certainly will be more funds coming in then than there are now.
We would capture the money from the drives?
Well, those drives, what would happen is that the drives that are going in August, I would begin to collect those funds in September. And by late September, I would have maybe accumulate enough for the board meeting. For KPFA doing a September drive, and I think WBAI is thinking about it as well, I would ask for an advance from them against drive receipts in KPFA's case to support a board meeting in late September. And I think that's possible. Between the August drives and the September drives, there's more money.
Jamie, did that answer all of your questions, or did you have additional questions? Are you on mute, Jamie? All right. Kathy?
I don't know if it does answer my question. It seems the exact same situation that we're in now. I don't understand the difference.
Okay.
Hi, Sherry, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Sorry about that. Yeah, the one question that this brings rise,
when do we need to have the money in order to have a board meeting? I mean, surely we have to, you know, you have to pay for the space in advance, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
do you need the money for a late September meeting?
Okay.
You need the money early September?
Let him answer, James. Go on.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, usually you have to have a contract. If he does negotiations, you do a contract. And we handle airfare okay because the our travel agent bills us, so we don't pay until 30 days after the flight. So that handles travel. The hotels are the issue. It's usually they want half of the hotel cost a week or two before the meeting. So that would be for us sometimes the second week in September, and I think that's manageable in that situation. So money should start coming in by that second week in September.
Okay. Let me just, while Lonnie is here, if there are any other questions specifically related to this particular area, the people who raised them have spoken, and that was primarily Jamie, Kathy, and Carolyn. If anybody else has any other questions for Lonnie, either ask them now or else I'm going to move on to ask the executive director to comment on this, and then we'll go back to PMB delegates.
Thanks. I have a question.
Okay, and that is Yosh?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Yosh.
Yes, Lonnie, I know that this is probably more properly directed to our foundation council, but regarding the July 1st settlement, is that due and payable immediately, or can that be paid 1 week, 1 month, or several months later with the payment of interest?
Can we ask Mike to answer that, please?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Mike, assuming that we do have a settlement which is due and payable on or about July 1st of this year, do we have to pay that immediately, or can payment be postponed for a week, a month, or longer with the payment of interest?
Immediately. By July 1st is the terms of the settlement agreement.
Okay.
I have questions for Lonnie.
Okay.
Is it your position at this point, Lonnie, that Pacifica has a zero balance?
Yeah. Right now, as I said earlier, we are having to postpone $150,000 worth of bills this month. And they, of course, will be there next month. We'll be in arrears. And that's very, very scary.
Is that yes or no? I don't understand.
That's a yes. That's a resounding yes.
And the procedure for deciding which bills are paid when funds come in is being made how and by whom?
Well, some of the decisions are made, in this case, legal decisions. There is no way to avoid paying a settlement. It's not something I decide. It's decided by the attorneys. And the dates are decided and the amounts are decided. What I end up doing is having to react to the amounts and the dates by postponing bills or trying to raise money another way.
Ronnie.
In cases... Yeah.
See, I think that the day-to-day business of the foundation is run in a particular way, whether it's salaries, unemployment benefits, medical benefits, contractual obligations. So, if you could clarify your question for me, the business is run by the CFO, the ED, the national staff, and then the management and staff of the local stations.
Is there a policy? My question goes to the existence, whether or not there is an existence, a policy for prioritizing, for aging bills primarily, and how is that, and is that dealt with in the budget? That the budget that the board voted on.
Your question for this meeting.
Point of information, Margaret.
Yes, Margaret.
Is this germane to the discussion of the July in-person meeting?
Absolutely is.
Excuse me, Afia. So the point of order, well, I am assuming that somehow she's going to try to get to how the decision was made that the board meeting wasn't to be the first item paid for out of the available funds for Pacifica to pay its other legal obligations like salary, medical, unemployment, the legal settlement, et cetera. And
Democracy Now.
Democracy Now, its contractual obligations, Free Speech Radio News, which we can't pay. And I would ask Nicole also to answer that question at this point.
Okay. I have an other question.
I also had a question for Lonnie.
Go ahead, Afia.
And my third question is, maybe it's two other questions. One is what efforts have been made to negotiate terms with the conference site, if any? And fourth, there are where are proposed funds, or what is the impact of this zero balance with which we're operating? What is the impact on the proposed political party convention coverage?
Okay, those are the questions. Lonnie, and I think Nicole has to answer one of those also in conjunction with Lonnie. Do you want to answer those two questions, Lonnie?
Well, there are certain absolute mandatory bills that have to get paid every month. Among them is illegal. And that the illegal settlement is mandatory. We must pay health insurance every month. They threaten us with cutting off our insurance policy. The Kaiser and MMSI. That's a must pay bill. Workers' comp insurance must be paid because
we can't hear you.
Lonnie, your phone is breaking up, and you're losing vowels and consonants and everything. So say it again.
Can you hear me better now? I'm talking
no.
Live.
No.
Let me try something else.
Okay.
Better now.
No.
Let me try something else here.
Okay.
Hear me now?
That's better.
That's better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The answer to the first question is, what bills have priority? Bills that have priority are legal settlements. They come in, and if there's a settlement made, then it has to be paid. You can try to have, as I was alluding to, arrangements to try to have it be paid in two parts later date. But most of the time, that doesn't work out. Attorneys want to be paid. The second kind of bill is our health insurance, Kaiser, MAM. Those bills have to be paid, threaten us with, cutting,
a cup of tea.
People go to the doctor and they're told that the bill hasn't been paid. Medical bills are the, insurance.
You're breaking up.
Lonnie, it's worse.
I don't know. Someone's scratching. That's not me.
No, it's Lonnie.
Yeah.
Now you're okay.
Lonnie?
Is that better? Okay. He went away.
What kind of phone are you on?
I'm on a cell phone.
Okay. All right. That was clear right now, so try it again. The whole last several sentences were chopped up.
I was just going over the mandatory bills.
Good. Good.
Health insurance must be paid. All employees at Pacifica are in the health plan. National office does not pay those health care bills. Every employee is affected. Workers' comp insurance. Someone's moving your phone around. A workers' comp is an insurance in California. You must be in business if you have workers' comp insurance and have paid the bill. And then you have contractual obligations. They're in the third tier, where you have contracts with vendors of all various kinds, everyone from Democracy Now! To Free Speech Radio News. But we have other kind of vendors, too, that we have to pay on a monthly basis along with any business might have. And that's the priority. We're in a situation now where usually there's some wiggle room. But I'm telling you right now, there is no wiggle room. We have no money. And in postponing the bill, it doesn't really solve that problem. You just merely transfer it to the next month. So we're living week to week. As to the issue of, what was the second question?
Fia, what was your fourth question?
It was the impact on the proposed political convention coverage.
Oh, okay. All right.
The impact on the proposed political coverage, as you can see in our budget, that budget was at $144,000. If you're looking at our budget, we can't afford to spend $144,000 on programs. We don't have the money. It got whittled down to $15,000. And the reason that we've been doing mail drops, and those mail drops are earmarked for national programming. That is to say, we send a letter out to people across the country for specific election coverage. Those folks have been sending money barely enough to cover $20,000 as earmarked funds for national programs. So we may be able to squeeze something out. But even that is going to be on the table. Whoa!
It's a BlackBerry. Somebody's got close to their phone.
Oh, yeah. That's Joe.
Yeah, that was probably me. I've just moved it.
Thanks.
Good. Thanks, Joe.
But even that's going to be put on a credit card because we don't have the money up front to pay for that. So it's going on our credit card. That's where we stand now. This is not viewing with alarm. This is a very serious situation at Pacifica. And it is not good.
Okay.
Good.
Rob had a question, and then I'm going to ask Nicole.
Well, Lonnie, I want to point out again and again and again that the what drives this is the erosion in our audience, and the other thing that's related to that is the fact that our revenues are shrinking or not keeping pace with expenditures.
Bob, is this a question?
Yes, it is a question. Sherry, may I ask it?
Yeah.
With your permission? My question is, what are we doing as an organization to stop the erosion in audience and
okay.
expenditures? Because I don't see anything.
Okay.
And as a PNB member, I'm sorry, I can't speak, so I'll just hang up.
Lonnie is the CFO. Nicole is going to speak if you would like to ask her the question, but that is not the subject of this phone conference. We have another PMB meeting on Friday. I'm going to ask Nicole now to address the subject of this meeting. Nicole?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and good evening, everyone. I'm trying to follow the subject of this meeting. I hear many threads. I hear many subtexts. But I just have to, I'll try to stay on what's facts. Seems like we have a parallel universe going on. We talk about eroding audience. Just with regard to the date of that, of the July meeting. That happens to be the weekend of the Green Party. And we are scheduled to do 3 hours of live coverage on Sunday morning to serve our audience, diminished as they may be, and to serve our affiliates network with an alternative to probably no coverage of the Green Convention or maybe just spot news on NPR. Let's go back a little bit to how we got into this convention. I heard the word proposed convention coverage, and I really get perplexed then. I guess every time we make a programming decision, decision. It has to be voted on by the PNB now, for example, like the torture hearings that KPFA is offering and underwriting tomorrow for everybody to pick up. Torture hearings on the Hill, yeah, because that's what our country's been doing. I think our audience is interested in that. Anyway, scroll backwards to March when I first took this job, my first week. We had an all-staff meeting in Houston. That had been pre-planned. I didn't plan that. I arrive. We build staff. We have a conversation. We look to how we're going to begin to build national programming. And at that time, that's when plans were made to cover the major event in our country this year, a rather significant election. We are in the business of broadcasting. And at that time, we all turned to the CFO who was there, and we said, well, what kind of budget is there? And he said $60,000. And given that, you know, we wanted to bring some clues to it. We really wanted to try to, you know, knit together ourselves and be a little innovative in how we were going to cover this. We also said to KPFA offered and said, look, if there's cost overruns, because I was like $60,000 for three, you know, conventions. Wow. So KPFA said they could cover a little bit of any cost overruns happening generously. So scroll forward, and on my first PNB conference call with all of you in March, you recall that I did give minutes of that meeting, and I believe it was mentioned, wow, it sounded, you know, that's really great, we're really excited. I kept asking throughout, right away, and you'll remember that I reported on this, right away, because we knew we were in tough times, back in March even. I mean, I think we were in the storm then, not the crisis. But nonetheless, I reported that on that conference call to all of you that we had made reservations already even in youth hostels. We were lucky. Got one in Denver, just 2 miles away, $13 a night. Yeah, you got to bring your own towel, but that's how we were going to do it. Hostel reservations in Chicago, where the Green Party convention is going to be, and then we got a free house. And then, yeah, and come together.
Somebody has to mute their phone, whether it's AC or Wendy or somebody. Go ahead, Nicole.
So I kept asking through the course of planning, and we talked to staff. We had meetings with program directors and GMs, and, you know, as we began to plan. And I kept asking the CFO throughout, you know, can I stick to this? Is this the budget we have to work with? Because, actually, the heaviest costs on this are the technical hookups. I mean, for example, we only get a little table with a chair, and, you know, you have to pay for the chair. You have to pay for the electrical hookup. The electrical hookup, like, outside of Radio Row is $1,500 a socket for the Democrats because they're, you know, scrambling for dough like everybody else. $1,500 a socket. So through the course, you know, the CFO would say, well, I don't know about $60,000. And it became, well, $40,000. So then I started to get... I put staff to the task of giving me worst-case scenario, best-case scenario, mid-case scenario, trying to do our core business here, coverage of national election, significant national election. And so we got a bare-bones budget. You know, we've been contingency planning all along. And this is just, may I just say, this is one tiny, not tiny, significant, but one fraction of what is on the daily desk and the daily screen. Okay, but just remember that. That's the context that the CFO and I are operating on. Okay, so We did a mail drop. Here's the story on the mail drop that happened. When I came in, I said, I don't like mail drops. I especially don't like acquisition mail. You guys don't have a good track record with it. Two mail drops are being prepared. One was acquisition mail. The other was a mail drop in our signal areas, okay? And these are people that have donated both to the foundation and to the local station. And so those names have been collected, and the foundation, i.e. the office, does a mail drop to those people as well. And I came in and I said, look, this is tenuous, this is stressful because we're self-competing here, and this is an issue. And it was an issue back when I was GM 10 years ago at KPFA, and, you know, it's an issue throughout public radio, really, of competing in signal areas. So I was reluctant to do the mail drop in the signal area of our five stations. And that one was written with an eye towards this is what Pacifica is going to do for national election coverage, and we've been collaborating with FSRN on Election Unspun, and, you know, just, you know, your typical mail drop letter. I took it, I put it in my own language, and reluctantly find my name, but I was duty-bound. You know, the CFO had told me, no, this has been a line item for a while in the budget. You know, these mail drops have to happen, and you know, this revenue is part of the overall flow, and we're really it now, and you gotta do it. Okay, so I do it. Well, that mail drop's doing pretty good. The acquisition mail is not costly. That's why we shouldn't be doing acquisition mail, or that's a sidebar. But this mail drop that specifically says, you know, this is what Pacifica's going to do, election coverage, you know, it's doing okay. But the final figure we're working on to cover three significant conventions is now $15,000. So we are in scale down, get smart mode. So understand that on July 25th, that weekend, we're going to be broadcasting, hopefully, and we're only now taking a crew of three to the Green Party. One of whom is our national tech director, who usually has to come to the PMB meetings to stream us. And, of course, we're using him because he's on salary, you know, of course, and he's excellent at these things. This is what he does. We're not paying any extra. So he's conflicted now. What are we going to do? We've got to bring somebody in to stream. You know, we'll do it. I think that's what has to happen. We got three people now covering it. And I'm going to be conflicted. I had plans to be at KU, which is the uplink to the network and the affiliates and everybody, and audio port, you know, and be there. And there's live coverage, and help produce. So now I'm conflicted. Okay, so that's the story on convention coverage, where that stands with regard to the meeting. I do want to, for the record, state, it's not that I came out and said, you should not have this meeting. When I came in, I said, it sounds like, looks like, smells like, everybody's talking like, we got some issues going on around finances and money and the sustainability of this network. That's what I walked into. So, you know, I said right away, you know, I had seen staff come to a meeting when I was hired in Berkeley in November, and they weren't even present during the meeting. They weren't even present during the public sessions. It's like, dang, there's a lot of staff here, but I don't see them. So that became an instant way to at least, you know, collapse some of the expenses by saying, okay, core staff comes. And you guys, I don't know how much staff you brought to New Jersey. I wasn't there. That was a pricey meeting. That meeting ended up costing, what, $42,000, $45,000? New Jersey, and that was January. I wasn't there. You know, I was in dialogue. But so I don't want it spun as though this is my crusade. I think that as I look at it as a business, and I try to keep up with trends in business because economies are collapsing everywhere, and I look at what remedies both nonprofit and for-profit businesses do, I try to inform what I inform you about and how I manage. I try to stay contemporary and current and informed. So, you know, the first thing they do is they say, well, we got to pull back what is non-essential. And we've got to, you know, I mean, it's happening all over. And that's what should go on. And so I said, pull back what's non-essential. If you can get away with three meetings, get away with three meetings. Because everywhere, throughout the network, this is what's going on. And we have day-to-day obligations. I don't understand this discussion of bills and all this stuff. I mean, it's so out of context. These are all operational discussions. So I think that, you know, the subtext in some of what I hear is that there is a crucial decision the board has to make eventually, maybe, if there's stability. And that is, you know, how far deep into operational do you go? And what is, you know, proposed convention coverage? I don't understand that. I'm not going to compete with anybody about plans about managing anything. I don't want to compete. I don't understand. I feel a subtext of competition. And I don't get that. I don't get it. I'm trying to do the best that I can in a situation that is extremely complex. And I have been very, very blunt with all of you saying, I don't understand the finances. I'm doing my best to. And also manage perception. Now, I'll finish up with an issue on perception. Because I heard itemized, well, we have to make decisions about specific cuts and SRM and this kind of thing. I sent out a letter to the affiliates that clearly, without drama, stated the situation, the parameters, the reality around this whole FSRN situation. And I sent a copy to all of you. I hope you read it. It's the truth that I tried to piece together from a history that I inherited that is murky and has undertones of conflicts of interest, one could say. But nonetheless, what's the perception going to be? How do I manage the perception? I signed a letter, the CFO signed a letter to FSRN saying, you know, this overage that we've been paying you now over and above the agreed upon, but we can't do it now. It comes directly from the stations. You know, these are the mechanics behind how these things are funded. Okay? So what's the subtext? Their perception is going to be, aha, there is money, see, so they're just out to get FSRN. See, so let's gang up. It's Nicole. Get her. You know, that's okay. Come and get me. You know, death by a thousand. It's all good. We all know that that's the paradigm. So think about the perception. Think about the perception to staff who receive letters, you know, and then had to do fund drives. It's not easy. They get that death by a thousand cuts too. I am not against working with a board. I think each and every one of you are terrific. I'm not so sure what you think you can remedy, and I'm not so sure what informs your decision. What the expertise that informs your decision. When you make these operational and let's not play games. I mean, meet. But remember that, you know, 6 weeks later, I think the more crucial meeting, if you want my opinion, I do think the more crucial meeting is in September. And hook or crook. Gotta do it. Gotta do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
This is Jack.
Yes.
Kathy, I have a question.
Jack.
And a comment.
Okay.
Jack, I'm sorry, Kathy. Jack.
I'm recognized.
Jack.
I call the previous question, which is calling the question.
Okay. Question has been called. Has it been seconded?
I seconded it.
Oh. All right. Is there objection to calling the question?
Yes.
There is an objection. You told us.
Somebody just said yes. Could I know who that was?
It was George.
George.
And Kathy.
Okay. Question has been called. There was an objection. Mary, would you take a roll call vote on ending debate, please?
Madam Chair, I just wanted to let everybody know, Zakai, I'm on the call now. So.
Oh, hi.
Thank you.
I have a point of information, or I need the answer to a question from the chair.
Go ahead.
Earlier a question was asked about being able to respond after Nicole and Lonnie spoke.
The question's been called, Kathy, so if the board votes to end debate, then that's it, and if it doesn't, then we'll go back to that.
All right.
Okay.
And this is the call, we are calling the question on that amendment, is that correct?
No, we're not. We're calling the question on ending debate.
But the debate on that amendment, is that correct?
We haven't even discussed the amendment. There is an amendment. It's ending
debate.
Yeah,
okay. Well, I just wanted people to understand what... Okay. Grace Aaron?
No.
Okay. Nia Bediako?
Yes, only because I'm sick and I'm tired.
Evelyn Bethune?
Yes.
Carolyn Burden?
No.
A.C. Bird?
Yes.
Kathy Davis?
No.
Zakai Fee?
Yes.
Let's see. Mike Martin?
Yes.
Fionn Mwangaza?
No.
Margaret Prescott?
Yes.
Barb Rondawa?
Yes.
George Ryder?
No.
Rob Robinson?
No.
Jamie Ross?
No.
Wendy Schrill?
No.
Bonnie Simmons?
Yes.
Lori Taguma, are you present? Jack Van Aken?
Yes.
Joe Gonzalez?
No.
Yoshi Yamanaka?
Yes.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, yes. 7, 8, 9, let me see. I think it's 9 now. Let me count again.
1 second.
Yeah, it's 9 now. You're right.
Nine. I have 10, yes. 9,
yeah,
no.
10, yes. Okay. So debate is ended.
It fails. Motion fails. Requires
two-thirds. It has to be two-thirds.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. So, Kathy, you're next on the stack.
Okay. I felt a strong need to respond to two things. One, in the earlier one, it was said that there was a proposal for the party convention. I felt that was in the context of being told that there was zero balance, that there was zero money. And I feel that that is part of the hesitancy, is that information is really not flowing. The information about the mailing wasn't given. So the confusion that I feel is not really having the information come through to the members of the board, and then having that information change is also very confusing. And my real point of information was I understood that the Green Party convention was July 10th to 13th. Was that changed? Did they change the dates?
No.
Nicole? No, Kathy, not that I know of. Unless I have the wrong dates, but those were the dates that I've been operating on. I could be wrong.
No, because I understood you to say
for me.
No, I had understood you to say that the convention was the 25th.
Oh wait.
Point of that's information. What I've been reading. Then I have the wrong weekend, and it's my mistake. That's what I've been reading.
Okay. Margaret.
It says on the website July 10th.
Margaret, did you have a point of information, Margaret? No, okay.
I'm sorry. I have been operating. It's July 25th.
Nicole, everybody, Margaret, did you have a point of information?
No, I did not.
Okay, okay. This is Grace. I'd like to be on the stack.
That was Afia saying point of information.
I'm sorry. Okay, Afia, what is your point of information?
My point of information is that the Green Party convention is July 10th through the 13th.
That's already been answered, Afia. Thanks. Grace?
Yes. You know, obviously this board is extremely divided on this issue. It's almost 50-50. Half of us feel, for some reason, that we shouldn't meet the, and the feeling is strongly among half of the board that we should not meet. The other half or so feel strongly that we should meet. I'm going to appeal to you all to see if we can craft some sort of a compromise. I don't know what it might be, but I would like to meet. On the other hand, if we have a meeting that's poorly attended, that's an in-person meeting, that's not going to help the foundation. On the other hand, if we capitulate and we don't meet till September, about half of us are going to be very unhappy, especially if the financial decline continues in the trajectory it's going in. I feel Rob and I and Carolyn and Jamie and Joe and Afia have been talking about solutions to our fiscal problems that could potentially generate between 100,000 and 300,000 in the 3 months between now and September. I think that these things need to be discussed. We have very, very, very difficult situations in front of us, which we're also, with having only teleconferences, we're eliminating dialogue from the listenership and from people concerned about us in our signal areas that in-person meetings afford them. I don't know what to say. I'd like to appeal to somebody in this PNB to figure out a compromise that where our two groups can meet halfway and that all of our concerns can be somewhat addressed.
Okay.
Thank you.
AC, did you want to talk? Was that AC?
No, that was somebody else.
Okay, I didn't recognize the voice. I apologize. Okay. Anybody else want to talk?
This is Joe.
Okay.
Along the lines of what Grace is saying, I think it seems like we're talking about more than one set of cross purposes, and the divide is probably more than, you know, within the divide, there are probably people who take their positions for sort of, you know, slightly different reasons. You know, and it would be useful if you could move away, if possible, from the zero-sum game of whether or not to have this meeting, you know, on that particular weekend in July. You know, that weekend came, you know, originally we were trying to meet in June, and we ended up kind of missing that date because of, you know, we couldn't find locations and we ran out of time, so we pushed it back to July and so forth. It might be worth entertaining, I don't know whether it could be punched up in the context of this meeting, an alternative which would allow us, but then, that, you know, I don't know if that's possible, but it'd be worth entertaining. I don't have any proposal offhand, but the danger, of course, of moving past July is that it then becomes a question. It gets back to the same question of will we have the money to meet later than that? I mean, I don't know if Lonnie can speak to the question of whether we can, when would be the earliest we could meet, or when we could have money to meet at the earliest, I mean, before September. You know, in other words, it would be good if we could have, you know, suspend the rules and have a discussion about what to do, move away from the zero-sum game. Because one of the other things that's happening is that people talk about essential costs and so forth, and somehow governance costs, which have been sort of under attack from certain sectors for many years now, being seen somehow as non-essential. And the fact that we've been able to cut the cost of the meeting, has, as far as I know, has never really been acknowledged. People say, well, if staff are complaining that the PNB is going ahead and having these meetings, it should count for something that we've been able to come up with meeting scenarios that cost significantly less than before. So the PNB, or at least some of us on the PNB, have been moving, you know, have made an effort to do that. So, you know, I don't think that, for example, you know, whether or not to have a PNB meeting should be set against, you know, whether or not to do the convention coverage. Both things are important for different reasons in different ways. You know, some people may feel in-person meetings are, you know, a waste of time or not constructive, and some of us feel differently. I mean, and certainly that's one area of sharp disagreement. But without belaboring the point, you know, if somebody, as I've been talking, has been able to think of something, some other alternative scenario, Jamie mentioned something, I don't know if that's it's worth considering about having a longer meeting in September, but if it would help if we could think along those lines. Otherwise, we're back to the trench warfare around this question.
I want to remind everybody that we do have another PNB meeting this Friday, and if the motion is not rescinded, then we can address the logistics around the meeting, and if the motion is rescinded, we can devote a large part of that meeting to discussing the issues that several of you have raised. Who said, Madam Chair?
I did. This is Nicole. I did, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond.
Wait. Was there, excuse me one second, Nicole. Was there anyone else that wanted to?
Yeah, it was Bonnie. I wanted to.
Okay, fine. Nicole and then Bonnie.
Yeah, AC.
Okay.
Thank you, Joe. Allows me to take a step back. and you know, I've tried to retain a step back. I want you all to know. I do think, actually, that the in-person board meetings are fruitful and important. I've said from the beginning, though, I do think it should go down to 3 overall. Just, you know, overall, it makes more sense to have three meetings a year. But, you know, that's ultimately governance decision. I would hope that in the September meeting would be as soon as possible, in the beginning of September and not the end, towards the end. I don't know when that's traditionally scheduled. But I agree with you, Joe, that we shouldn't, you know, it's really wrong to play wedge stuff. And I don't think any of us think we don't want it to be a difference between convention coverage or not. And it's not. We're going to do, you know, what we need to do in all our roles. And Joe, just one final thing. I didn't mean to imply at all that PMB meetings aren't essential travel. You know, I'm still figuring out how to vote. I'm not still figuring out. Trust me, whatever funds the PMB is all from central services. And that's basically, you know, that's the bottom-up money. That's the listener support. So it is essential. Of course it's essential. Any governance meetings of any nonprofit is essential. Of any for-profit is essential.
Okay. Bonnie and then AC?
I was going to call the question.
Okay. Question.
I can go with that.
Okay. You're seconding that, AC?
Yes.
Okay. Any objection to calling the question?
Yes, I object. This is Isia. I object.
Okay, Mary, would you take a roll call, please?
Okay.
Let me ask this before we do that. In addition to Isia, is there anyone else who wants to speak before we take a vote?
Yes, I do.
Stuart?
Yeah, Jamie would, too.
Okay. Mary, take the roll.
I have a question for...
I didn't call on you, though.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were
That's
asking.
Okay. No, I just wanted to know who else in addition to Afia. Mary, would you take the roll call on calling?
Okay. Okay. Grace Aaron.
No.
Nia Vidiaco.
I actually had a point of information. Is that part of eventually correct for me to do this?
No.
I don't even know.
Not when we're calling the roll. You'll have to do it after, Nia.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yes.
Okay. Are you voting, Neil?
She voted yes.
Yes.
You did. Thank you. Evelyn Bethune?
Yes.
Carolyn Burden?
No.
A.C. Bird?
Yes.
Catherine Davis?
No.
The Guy Fee Free?
Yes.
Mike Martin?
Yes.
Ian Wangasa?
No.
Margaret Prescott?
Yes.
Sarah Randhawa?
Yes.
George Ryder?
No.
Rob Robinson?
No.
Jamie Ross?
No.
Wendy Schrill?
Yes.
Bonnie Simmons?
Yes.
Jack Van Aken?
Yes.
Joe Gonzalo?
No.
Yosha Manaka?
Yes.
Okay. Seven, no.
10, 11, yes.
Well, oh, wait, I have 12, I think. But still, it's not two-thirds.
No, okay. eight, no.
Okay.
So it's still not, okay.
Hold it.
As I could, but it's not two-thirds.
It's not two-thirds.
We don't have to have two-thirds, do we?
No, yes. That's the end debate we do, AC. Not
half. End debate, okay.
Yeah, right, okay. Afia, George, and there is one other person.
Jamie,
okay.
And Grace, put me on. I have 1 point.
Okay, great. Okay. Afia?
In your comments, Nicole's comments, I understood her or you to mention that there were several mail drops, or at least two mail drops, to be done, one of which was done and is now restricted to programming, which is to be used to fund the convention coverage. And my first question, in regard to that is, how did it get restricted to covering the to convention coverage? Excuse me. And while I agree, speaking generally, that we would don't want to get into convention coverage versus in-person board meetings. The board, I would remind us that the board meetings, while both may be important, is by law mandated and is necessitated not only by the bylaws but by the situation that we understand ourselves to be in. And I would urge us to keep that in mind, and I would appreciate an answer to that question.
And Nicole, do you want to answer her question about the drop?
Sure. So, Afia, when I came in, these drops are pre-scheduled throughout the year, okay? So they're, like, planned out through the year. They're two different types, and they both dropped at the same time to two different lists. And one is a list that's bought, and it goes to places where we don't have a station. Although sometimes there's definitely an affiliate station in the neighborhood, and I think in the past they've heard from affiliate stations about them. But anyway, that's not important. I mean, it's certainly important if we want to reconstruct that. The second one was already pre-scheduled to drop, and I put it off a bit just because, as I mentioned, I'm not big on mail drops. And the body of the letter itself, you know, when you do fundraising letters, they have an ask. They're just not general fundraising letters. Each one has an ask. And what it was tasked to be was to raise money for convention coverage. That's what it was scheduled for. Before, as I said, before I came in. So I said reluctantly, as I said, because when I came in last November, I didn't put my name to any letters to drop.
I said, all right, you know, this one I'll sign off on. The acquisition mail I did not sign off on. I didn't sign my name to that letter. Because I have a whole thing about signing my name to letters asking for money. I feel responsible.
Okay, but the question was, how does this...
Question,
so
is
I
it...
Understand. I hear that...
Let me let Lonnie answer that as well. I'll just tell you this is not restricted. Is it restricted in the sense of a hard restriction, like a gift that says, you know, this is a restricted fund and you can only use it for such and such? No. It's restricted in the sense of our own integrity, that when we do a mail drop in our own signal areas asking supporters who give to both the station and the foundation, look, this is about convention. Well, I consider that restricted in the sense of the integrity of the mail drop and our promises behind what we will do, how we will deploy their gift. So I'll defer to Lonnie. Is it, you know, considered, like, legally restricted? No, I don't know. You know, I'll let him defer to that. I know when a gift is legally restricted, it's going to stay legally restricted, but it's more an integrity restriction, and it's also a development, you know, best practice. Otherwise, you lose your credibility. So that answers your question, Afia. Lonnie, do you want to chime in on that?
Sure. Well, in accounting, it is restricted. If you ask money from any donor or from a member and you tell them that you're going to use the money for some specific purpose, especially one that's in writing, you are, in accounting and with the IRS, restricted to use the money in that way. If you ask for money for, in this case, it's national programming. We've been doing this for 5 years, writing listeners saying that we need extra funding.
I've got an emergency. I need to call her right away.
AC, we can hear you. Go ahead.
We've been doing it for quite a while. We've been asking listeners around, non-listeners, that is people around the United States, to support the largest independent network for the progressive voices to continue to produce national programming. That's why these are national mailings. Those funds are restricted. They cannot be used for other purposes and have not been used for other purposes. The same thing would be true for capital campaigns. If you tell listeners on the air, and I admonish our stations, that if you say that that you're going to use money for a capital campaign or for an elevator or for a building, you have to use the money strictly for those purposes and its related expenses. So it's not restricted in nice. It's restricted in reality. And you have to prove how you spent the money.
Okay.
That will be true for the auditor when he comes in. He'll say, I see you raised money, and it was for a restricted purpose. Show me how you spent those dollars. It will be true for the IRS. It will be true for the state. So, yeah, it's restricted.